Hello, and welcome to the Monco on the Move podcast. I'm Jared Brown, Assistant Dean of Academic Affairs at Monco's Pottstown campus. On today's show, we'll be talking all about engineering, specifically with engineering professor Bill Brownlow, as he tells us about his recent experience leading a team of 20 students as they took on building a hydrogen fuel cell-powered urban concept vehicle and competed in the Shell Eco Marathon America's 2023 regional competition at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, April 12th through the 16th. The event is a global academic program that challenges talented students to design and build cars, considering technical and behavioral factors to achieve game-changing energy efficiency results, according to the competition. Students took what they learned about in the engineering classes and applied it to the real-world test case. They faced teams from around the world who were tasked with building a car that can try to answer the question, how can we travel using as little energy as possible? According to the competition, the current record for gasoline-powered prototype vehicles is roughly 2,343 miles on 1 liter of fuel. That's the equivalent of driving from London to Rome and back. I'm looking forward to speaking with Bill as we talk about what it was like competing on the historical racetrack, some of the challenges the team faced along the way, and what the team is cooking up for next year. So without further ado, let's welcome Bill Brownlow to the podcast. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Jared. How are you?
Great. And congratulations. So coming in second place in your category at the Shell Eco Marathon in 2023 regional competition. How did that feel?
Well, we competed once before, but we never actually got on a track. That we were able to get there this year. And we had some, and we'll talk a bit about this as we progress, but we had some fits and starts, and we were still able to overcome those challenges and to actually get on the track and compete against other teams from other universities and institutions was really, really exciting for our team members and myself, of course.
Let's start with the competition itself. So for our listeners, can you give us a real – so I have no knowledge of this. Right. So give me a real quick introduction to what is this competition?
So the Shell Corporation sponsors an event called the Shell Eco Marathon every year, and it's conducted in three locations. One is the North and South America. So typically that is conducted in North America and then Europe and in Asia. So we're part of the Americas, so it's called the Shell Eco Marathon Americas.
Yep.
And this year it was at the Indianapolis Speedway.
How cool.
The Brickyard, yep, in Indianapolis, Indiana. The idea is that universities and other institutions, so there's academies, there can be high schools involved, and very few community colleges get involved in this kind of an event. The idea is that you're trying to create a vehicle that gets the absolute best miles per gallon equivalent, because there are other fuels, it's not just gasoline, to get the most miles per gallon equivalent from a unit of fuel, and in our case, that would be hydrogen fuel. We don't burn it. We pass it through something called a proton exchange membrane. So think of it as just like a screen, and the screen diverts the electrons out of the gas to a load someplace. And then all of that gets reintroduced on the other side of this screen, which is called a membrane. And in that way, we're able to power a motor. And we, again, try to get the absolute best miles per gallon equivalent that we can. And the weight of the vehicle, the aerodynamics of the vehicle, the control system, the propulsion system, the telemetry that monitors and controls, all of this is part and parcel of the design of a very unique vehicle. They don't sell these. You can't buy them off the shelf. No, you can't. No, you've got to build these from scratch. And one of the things that students struggle with when they first come onto the team, is the idea that this is not really a car. It's a research vehicle. And so if we say we want to do something with a braking system, then they think, well, we'll, you know, we'll go to AutoZone or Advanced Auto or something like that and buy brakes. It's like, no, you won't.
Yeah, right.
Because first of all, they're going to be incredibly heavy by comparison to what you really need. Yeah.
In 2017, you competed in Detroit.
Yes.
What was the difference if you could compare the most recent competition and the vehicle to that 2017 experience in Detroit?
Well, preparation was probably the foremost difference. So when we went to Detroit in 2017, I would say the vehicle was probably about 40% complete. Mm. And we had to do the rest of the work while we were there.
Wow.
And because of the amount of work that we were able to do in that week, we were given the Spirit of the Event Award. It's the title's a little bit more involved in that. But essentially, it was the Spirit of the Event, and Spirit and Perseverance, because we were able to demonstrate what could be done under against tremendous odds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we were so far behind in the production of the vehicle that we weren't able to get through safety inspection to even get on the track.
No.
This time, we had a functioning vehicle that was probably 95% complete before we left. And when we got there, we took care of the balance of those requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some rather serious issues that we were aware of before we left and were hoping would not become a problem. One was our fuel cell was leaking severely. And another one was great concern about aerodynamics in our design.
Now, is a student driving it, the vehicle, or how
Yes.
does that work?
Yes. So we'll select a student. In this case, it was Sabrina Turner. She did a fantastic job coming up to speed. No pun intended, but coming up to speed and taking over the role of driving
Driver,
the vehicle.
Yeah.
And, you know, a real bonus for Sabrina was that she was able to drive this vehicle. Part of the track, most of it was on the infield, but part mm-hmm. of the track was on the actual Indianapolis 500, the speedway, the roadway itself. And she was able to drive on that, which was very cool.
The fact that not only do you have the student, right, but then she's female in this probably very male-dominated, I would imagine, or maybe not.
Because this is an international event and because of the organization Shell Corporation mm-hmm. that sponsors it, there's more women represented
oh,
on
good.
Teams than you might typically see in engineering programs
yeah.
at
yeah.
colleges, universities,
right.
And things of that nature. So we went to the competition with 14 students, and six were women.
Oh, that's great, Bill.
And
that's
on
great.
Our team, we have 20, and I believe out of the 20, we have 8, I think it is.
That's
so
great.
It's a real good distribution of
experiences,
talent.
Mindset.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So this year's competition was in Indianapolis.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit more about that experience and the students' reaction when they got to actually compete at this historic racetrack.
Based on the early feedback and then post-event feedback that I received, they were most impressed just by the size of the venue. As you know, the Indianapolis
sure.
Speedway is 2.5 miles
yeah.
around. So the idea that they put so many tens of thousands of fans there, and we were there. Mm-hmm. We were working in the garages that the Indianapolis race cars work in. So that was very cool.
In the pit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gasoline alley.
Right.
And lots of rules and regulations. And I think that impressed them that
I'm sure.
there are things, ways that things must be done. Just getting your car through safety inspection is a monumental task. Mm. They're super serious about safety and design considerations and things of that nature. And the team was very impressed by that. I think that was the biggest impression that was made on them, seeing other teams and the kinds of vehicles
yeah.
that they had available.
Right.
But the day that we got our safety inspection approval stickers was huge for us.
Speaking of, the car had to go through rigorous inspections.
Yep.
But when you actually got to compete in the inner track at Indy, a big weakness was exposed. Can
yes.
you tell us a little bit about that? And I think you touched a little bit on it.
Yes. It was windy on the days that we competed, And our vehicle was not nearly as aerodynamic as the competition. To kind of put things a little bit into perspective,
yeah.
The first place car in our category, which was hydrogen fuel cell urban concept, mm-hmm. was, I believe it was 118 miles per gallon equivalent. I'm sorry, 118 miles per cubic meter of hydrogen.
Jeez.
And we were at 31. So you can see there's a rather large differential
gap
in there. But what we really were able to appreciate is this was the first year that we were getting on the track. And we could really see what our vehicle was capable of. And once the team understood that, they came back from the event and said, we're building a new car. And it's going to be far more aerodynamic. We're going to support all that with data. We're going to get wind tunnel testing. We're going to do software tests. Just their whole perspective on this event changed dramatically when they came back.
So I'm not an engineer.
Right.
But I would assume that that's part of the job of an engineer, is how do we make this better? How do we improve this? What are our areas that we need to focus on, right, that we can improve? And it sounds like the team went right into that mode of, let's think about this.
Yeah, it took them about 2 to 3 weeks to calm down. They were fired up and pumped up when they came back. We're going to do this, and we're going to compete in the prototype category. So we're going to have two vehicles next year. We're going to redesign.
That's awesome.
The conversation was a very high level.
Yeah.
And when I say 2 to 3 weeks to calm down, I mean they were heading into finals, and they really had to refocus.
Yeah.
But they went, you know, what are we going to keep doing our Saturday sessions? Are we going to be starting doing week sessions?
They come in outside of, you know, they're right.
I've always referred to us as the geeky sports team. So for students that aren't necessarily interested in playing sports, this is their sports team.
But how cool.
Opportunity, yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, and they were fired up.
And the team should be impressed. I mean, they came in second place, right, in the category,
yes,
which is amazing. And continuous improvement,
yes,
that you're seeing from the team. And I'm excited that they're thinking about next year's car already and just having that momentum, that Monco momentum,
yes,
right,
yes,
that we learn here.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like it won't be easy for next year because there's some expenses involved in this. Can you tell us a little bit about that expense piece connected to building the cars?
Well, one of the amazing things that happened to us out in Indianapolis was – our fuel cell was leaking so bad we couldn't get through safety inspection. And so I basically put my hat in my hand and I went to speak to another institution that unfortunately was not able to make it through safety inspection either, but they had a functional fuel cell.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't replace our fuel cell before we went because it's $8,000.
Wow, Bill.
And we didn't have $8,000.
No.
So hoping that the leaking wouldn't be such an issue, but it turned out it was. We were able to acquire the use of another fuel cell.
Mm-hmm.
We need to replace that fuel cell. We had to return the fuel cell with much gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we nominated that team for the Spirit of the Event Award because they were so generous.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous thing to lend somebody your fuel cell because they're very complex and you don't want them to be damaged.
Yeah.
But going into this year, we basically exhausted all of our prior funding from our sponsors, and we need to rebuild our funding source. So to get a new fuel cell, we want to build one new vehicle for the urban concept category. And potentially, if the funding is available, we'll certainly consider engaging in the prototype category as well. But then again, that's even more funding. And these are not the kinds of things that you can raise funding for by doing, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, cookie sales.
No.
you need major
corporate
industry
sponsors.
Yes, you got it. You need corporate sponsors. You need tens of thousands of dollars, not hundreds of dollars. So we're estimating that in going into this year, we're probably going to be needing about $18,000 to do what we need to do to make this all work and to compete at a high level. Our objective is to get back to the regional championships, to finish in the top four.
Yeah.
And if you finish in the top four, Shell Corporation pays to transport you, your vehicle, and all of your equipment to the World Drivers Championship.
Wow. Wow.
This past year, it was in India. And this coming year, we're hoping they're going to return to their prior venue, which is in London, England.
Oh, very
and
cool.
We're pretty excited about the prospects of maybe taking the team to London, England, and competing on the world stage.
Bill, I am so excited that you had this journey and you continue to support students that have this interest and want to be involved in very important projects and to be exposed to different environments, different people, different team sets. I just think it's phenomenal, and we need to raise you some money. So if there's any listeners out there, there are a couple ways that they can support this initiative. One would be through contacting the Montgomery County Community College Foundation and reaching out to the foundation by calling 215-641-6324 or emailing foundation@mc3.edu. And could they even contact you, Bill, for more information on how to donate some funds
or absolutely. Be
involved in that?
Okay. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, congratulations on your much success. Thank you for always having our students have these hands-on experiences that I know are very transformative and get that motivation that we like to have our students experience.
Absolutely.
Through these projects.
And I want to add something right
there
at the end. On the doors of our classrooms and our labs,
yeah,
it says, do something remarkable.
Oh.
And that is the strong encouragement. We're very keen on teaching our students leadership.
Yeah.
And teamwork.
Exactly.
And that we want them to do something remarkable.
I love it. What a great job and what a great story. And thank you for sharing it today on the podcast.
Thank you, Jared.
I really appreciate it. I wish you all the best on your next car and the design. And hopefully you will raise the funds needed so that the team can continue to impress others and also themselves. I think it's just to see your work come to life is very exciting.
Well, we'll certainly make good use of it.
Good. I would also like to say special thanks to our sound recording and music technology alumnus, Quincenta, for producing today's show. And thank you again for listening to Monco on the Move podcast. Check back soon for more stories from our Monco family. And until next time, I'm Jared Brown. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to Monco on the Move. Students at Montgomery County Community College working in the sound recording and music technology program record, edit, and produce this podcast. Check out mc3.edu/onthemove to listen to our latest episode or download our podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also learn about the latest episodes by following us on social media. Have a guest in mind you think would be great for the podcast? Email Eric Devlin at edevlin@mc3.edu or Diane Van Dyke at dvandyke@mc3.edu. And come back next time to find out more about what's happening at your community college and catch our Montco momentum.